Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Game one of the 2022-23 season is in the books and it is not well reviewed. The Lakers lose 123-109 in San Francisco to the Warriors. We'll break it all down next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you to everyone for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. Always free, never behind a paywall. Again, free, despite what that one guy said on YouTube today. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the podcast, especially on non-game days. You get it a few hours early. We have a lot of fun on it. It is a great community of people who have been built that thing up, commenting to us, commenting to each other. It's a great way to get yourself onto the show as well, to leave us questions and comments there. We want to hear from you. So 123-109 was the final score. Didn't quite feel that close in game one of the 2022-23 season. The Lakers lose up in San Francisco to the Warriors on ring night. Andy, it was a typically strange first half that often comes with ring night. It was first game stuff, and there's a lot going on, a lot of stuff here, but man, and we'll get under the hood on this thing, but at certain times, it certainly had a vibe of last season in ways that I think had, at the very least, Lakers fans upset.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to try to come up with the glass half full version of last year's vibes, it is at least a younger group. It is a much more energetic version of some of the issues that they had last year. And I do think that increased athleticism, increased youth, if nothing else, could make certain struggles more entertaining at times, just the ability to get up and down the floor. That being said, though, we, in thinking about sort of the nutshell version of a lot of what we saw before we start breaking it down into more details, it felt like a lot of concerns that fans, and I know we had with this team heading into it, came to fruition. You had brutal struggle with outside shooting. You mm-hmm. had turnover issues, which is mm-hmm. frankly something that have plagued the Lakers for the entire LeBron era. Like even the year that they won the championship, they took awful care of the ball.
Yes.
And you had, in terms of Lakers who played minutes that mattered, 27 total points combined from anybody not named LeBron, Anthony, or Russell.
And it should be noted that that was backloaded because they finished the third quarter, that group that you're talking about, anybody, just literally anybody on the team not named Russell, Anthony, or LeBron, had 15 points. And so that's just, it's not good enough. I mean, we'll talk about LeBron, we'll talk about AD, we'll talk about Russ. And how they played, and it wasn't perfect for any of them, but you look at sort of the final line here of what those guys put out. LeBron finished with 31 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 12 of 25 from the floor. Anthony Davis, 27 points, 10 of 22 overall, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. Again, we'll get into it. A lot of that's front loaded. A lot of LeBron came a little too late, but Russ, at least from a production standpoint, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. He had a steal.
Four turnovers. All 4 felt exceptionally inopportune. He also had, and in the grand scheme of things, this did not matter at all in a 14-point loss that really wasn't that close. He had one of the dumbest technical fouls you will ever see that just exacerbates how Laker fans feel about Russ. He swiped the ball out of some Warrior's hands after he had scored, just as the Warrior was looking to inbound.
When I saw it live, I thought he was trying to do the thing where you just catch it right as they're they're trying to inbound it as like a sneaky, tricky play, but he didn't really even react like he was trying to do that. Like it was like Jose Alvarado on New Orleans is famous for hiding along the baseline and sneaking up on players and pouncing on them.
Except that the problem is I'm not even sure Russ was legally in bounds by the time he did that.
I said this and was the replay, it felt different.
Yeah, and it really felt like Russ was just trying to be an annoyance, an irritant.
No, it wasn't good.
He got caught.
Yeah, I do want to let people know, I should have done this at the top of the episode. Today's episode brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a $100 instant deposit match, 100%, I should say, instant deposit match of up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. That wasn't good. It was to me, and what's funny about it is I know I don't want to bury the lead. I know the biggest players matter the most and all this stuff, but it really the first half was to me, I just kept saying to myself, they need more. Like Kendrick Nunn came in and he hit his first shot of the game. It was a 3-pointer. And you're like, ooh, this could be good. Like this is, look at this. This is what it needs to be. Like, Nunn's out here hitting shots and that was it. Patrick Beverley was a tire fire on Wednesday night.
Technically he was not on the court enough to be a tire fire. Like he kept getting
fair
kept
point
picking up. He picked up two fouls in the first 3 minutes. When he re-entered the game, picked up a third one really quickly. The outside shooting in the first half was just 21%. So brutal. I pointed out at Cam Brothers, because they went down, I want to say somewhere between 7 and 9 at half. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It was 7. They were down 7.5.
But I noticed,
which, by the way, felt remarkable. I have no idea how that happened.
Well, but to put in perspective just how bad their outside shooting was, they were 3 for 21 and down 7. 3 for 21 is miserable. If they had been just 6 for 21, which is also terrible, they'd have been winning the game.
Yeah.
Like that's how just god awful the outside shooting was. And this was something that was an overarching concern for this season, because in terms of the areas of weakness this team had, and then the things that they did in the offseason to address them, that if nothing else, you could play devil's advocate with, okay, I think that maybe the collective, with defense, for example, they didn't bring in a lot of strong, noted, established defenders, but they did certain things combined with Darvin Ham's scheme that you could say, all right, you know what? I could see where the collective might create a defense.
At the very least, they're quicker. They're more agile. They're younger. They're
But shooting was something that everybody was like, they did not address this. And they looked like a team that did not address it.
They sort of tap danced around a little bit. You're pulling up catch and shoot numbers for people. But ultimately, while he played better than I expected, as a playmaker and stuff like that, Lonnie Walker is not an established shooter of any sort in the NBA. He's as an outside shooter, and he was 0 for 3 on Wednesday. Juan Toscano-Anderson has many, many fine qualities. Outside, 3-point shooting is not necessarily one of them. Same with Austin Reeves. Kendrick Nunn finished 3 of 6, and I think will ultimately show out to be a pretty good 3-point shooter. Patrick Beverley historically has been a good one, although last year he tailed off a little bit, and just overall, I do worry a little bit about fall off with anybody of his age. Schroeder doesn't solve that problem. So, getting Nunn back, and this is why, that Ryan played 18 minutes tonight, Wednesday night, and it wasn't garbage time. This is why they felt, I think, they needed to keep him on the team. And it is, I guess, praiseworthy for Matt Ryan's shooting ability. But the fact that Ryan made the team is an indictment to some degree on what they did to construct it, because it indicates they don't have enough shooting, and it indicates they don't have anybody over 6'4". So it's
as I noted at Cam Brothers after the game, Rob Pelinka is trending on Twitter. This can't be good.
Yeah.
can't be a good sign.
It wasn't all bad. It wasn't all good, but it wasn't all bad. There were some things that you could pull from this game. Again, opening night against the best team in basketball on ring night. Like, there's just a lot going on here. We pointed out some of the things that didn't work for the Lakers on Wednesday. There were some things that did, or at least didn't, and are still worth talking about. We'll get to that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Prize Picks. Laker fans, if you have not signed up for Prize Picks, get on it, because this is daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection and you predict it correctly, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. And here's Brian's favorite part. I'm going to list all the sports that they
love it.
Offer projections on. Okay, buckle in, people. NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, I had to take a breath, boxing, Euro basketball, cricket, and Brian's favorite, disc golf.
If you are not on this list, you are not a sport.
No, your sport sucks.
You are an activity. You are not a sport.
Absolutely. You are like chess or poker. So on a night with a full NBA slate, for example, you could combine predictions where LeBron has more than 30 points, Steph Curry has less than 6 threes, Nikola Jokic more than 10 dimes, Kawhi Leonard more than 4 steals, Giannis less than 2 blocks in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the Apple Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really easy. Prize Picks is safe. They offer fast withdrawals, and first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 using the lock code Locked On. So deposit $100, Prize Picks gives you $100. So don't forget to enter that code Locked On at the sign up for that instant match for all of your disc golf Prize Picks projections. If you're not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing.
So Andy, my wife got me this giant thermos on Wednesday that holds approximately 493 ounces of liquid. Keep me hydrated during the recordings of the show. It is currently filled with lemonade. 3 or 4 more games of what we saw on Wednesday, it's not going to be filled with lemonade anymore. And I feel like Lakers fans are reacting to Wednesday night's game in that way, because they need to get off to a good start. The Western Conference is brutal. There is the early season schedule is very difficult. You know, the first 10, 15 games feature very few what would be considered gimmies. Most of these are playoff or playoff hopeful teams that they're playing. We've talked about how they need to get off to a good start, and aesthetically, at least, this wasn't it. It's not that they lost. It's that they lost in a way that reminds people of last season, where the supporting cast wasn't good, the shooting wasn't good, the third quarter was a blowout, and all these other things. To whatever degree you think the external vibe impacts them, it puts more pressure on them to fix it on Thursday and show out better, even if they lose.
Well, I will say that to whatever degree you're doing external vibe watch, the vibes around this team just in general are better than last year's team, which hopefully will allow them to just deal with adversity better than last year's team, because I think it's fair to say that team, I would say they crumbled under adversity if they didn't seem so indifferent to the adversity in the first place. Like, you got to care to crumble. But like in terms of just the vibes, like I will say the first half, they were not playing like classic, 2004 Pistons lockdown defense. But I thought their defense was often really energetic. I thought at times it was disruptive and effective. Golden State had a difficult time scoring against them. Some of that could have been just the weirdness of a game starting so late because of ring night or whatever. Maybe. But I also thought the effort was there from the Lakers. And at times, the ability to disrupt passes.
AD particularly was extremely active early.
Yes. So I'm going to give the Lakers not just credit for that, but I think it's worth noting in terms of something that was there that maybe can translate against other teams, particularly other teams that don't have the ability to just bury you the way Golden State
can. And that don't have the continuity. I mean, Ham did talk about it after the game. Golden State is a unique challenge in the sense, not only are they excellent, which obviously they are, and I mean, they could be better this year. I mean, you look at some of the young depth that they have and Wiseman being able to do stuff like, he wasn't dominant or anything, but like some of the little, pick and roll, the athleticism you see.
Wiseman's such good hands, man.
Yeah, he finished with 8-7 in 17 minutes. So not like he was just standing around. But, Kuminga is an incredibly good athlete, didn't do much tonight. But, Jordan Poole and Moody and like, they got a lot of dudes. And
Wiggins is only 27. He's still in certain respects coming into his own.
He's been in the league for 17 years.
Yeah, but I mean, he's only 27, and he's going to be part of that core moving forward for a while.
Right. So you look at it, and you have a combination of a weird night, an excellent team, one that knows, as Ham said, knows each other very well. They play a style that is hard to defend, I will give them credit for a lot of the work they did in the first half in terms of the effort. I think the attention to trying and the attention to attending to detail was there, in the same way that I'm not going to overreact in the third quarter when the defense started to break down. I mean, there were just, little moments. Austin Reeves got backdoored a couple times by Steph Curry, joined the club.
It was consecutive right. Possessions, basically.
I watched went back and rewound the DVR a couple times on that second one, especially. It was a flinch. Just, he stepped up a little high, thought Curry was going to come up for a dribble handoff, wanted to follow him, because obviously if Curry's coming up the floor, you got to be there on the screen, or you can't go under a screen on Steph Curry or you're done. And so it was a flinch. Curry backdoors into the court. Like, the precision that they do stuff is remarkable. And so I'm not going to overreact too, because also part of the reason the defense broke down, particularly in the third quarter, is the offense got really bad. They turned the ball over too much, and they got away with it a little bit in the first half. They did not get away with it in the second half.
22 total turnovers for 27 Golden State points.
And a lot of that, the three-pointers off turnovers that were not going down for Golden State did in the second half. Suddenly Curry isn't missing and Clay is not missing, and you just find yourself down. You're down 7, you're down 7, now you're down 10, you're down 10, you're down 8, you're down, oh, now it's 16. And now it's like, and the Lakers made their like little sort of pushes and stuff. But I mean, at any point, did you think there was even a 2% chance the Lakers were going to come back and win that game?
It never felt like the Lakers were actually going to pull the upset.
Right. So, and Darvin talked about it after the game too. The Lakers don't have any continuity. The Lakers don't have that kind of chemistry. Now, not every team they're going to play is built that way. They see the Blazers, for example, on Sunday, are kind of a completely rebuilt team. Like, that's a brand, not completely brand new, but got a lot, some different pieces. They're reintegrating players back into the lineup after guys miss a ton of in time. Not everybody is going to be the Warriors. But it goes back to one of my big concerns to hear Ham talk about, like, we're going to get to that point, and they probably will. I mean, knock on wood, but you got to get through this early season. It's another place where the Lakers are starting at a disadvantage. And, I liked some things about how they played. You mentioned the activity and the effort on defense. Anthony Davis, I loved that they were focused on getting him activated and rolling early. They, and AD was aggressive and clearly had the right mindset, carried on what he had been doing in the preseason. Do you think they got a little so focused on it, kind of bogged the offense down a little bit, but overall loved the intensity of Davis early, particularly, and the third quarter, you almost have to just throw the whole thing out. But like that AD showing up early was a great sign. Like, I like that.
Yeah. And they found more ways to hit AD in transition, so you could set him up on the run without necessarily slowing down the offense. Something Darvin talked about after the game, that they didn't quite play at the tempo that they needed to. LeBron recovered from what was a pretty brutal start to the game for him. He was not just missing outside shots, but I thought he was forcing and settling for a lot of them. You know, he got to the rim a few times. It wasn't always finishing, but as the
better at the rim than it was on the perimeter. That's for
sure. But as the game went along, LeBron began looking more like LeBron. He got a bit on a 3-point roll. He and Kendrick Nunn were the only guys on this team who hit more than one three.
When matters, how matters, and all that. When guys finish with 31, 14, and 8.
Right.
Like, and you can only be so critical.
Right. And did not get nearly enough help.
Correct.
From anybody other than the current superstar or guy that used to be a superstar, Russell Westbrook, who, as is often the case with Russ, had an interesting evening as well.
He did. And, you know, but there were some signs with Russ that were positive. You know, the threes were limited and only one of them that's not true. There were two of them. Okay. 2/3 of his 3-pointers. I went, ew. but he got to the rim. He spent a lot of time trying to play downhill, which was helpful. And, you know, I mean, he wasn't the problem.
No, he was not.
And so, let's talk, though. Westbrook said a couple things after the game.
Like I said, interesting night.
That were notable. So let's talk about that, and then maybe a little look ahead, because Thursday becomes a microscope game for this squad. So we'll do all that next. So Darvin, we had talked about whether or not we thought Russ was going to start. Both of us actually thought he might come off the bench for the opener. I kind of wish he had.
Well, just we thought that once that Band-Aid had been, you thought, fully ripped off, I thought semi-ripped off, but either way, they went there, that in a lot of ways, it might be best for the team, but also you provide a certain amount of cover for Russ because you go to this early and then you can always change it.
Right.
But
it's much easier to reinsert him back into the starting lineup than it is to remove him. The second you remove him from the starting lineup, you are, unless the team is like 5-2 and you're just doing, if the team is losing or has a losing record and you remove him from the starting lineup, it doesn't matter how you explain it, how you cap, you
are how Russ is even playing.
It doesn't matter. You are blaming Westbrook for the start. That is how it will be framed.
Right. So we're in that sense, if you went from that from the beginning, particularly with Dennis Schroeder not available, like we had mentioned as well, like he you could,
then you really establish that this is how we want to do it.
Right. You could theoretically present this as, we need a point guard, like an established point guard off the bench. Like this is as much out of necessity as anything having to do with Russ, but he did end up starting in this game.
It got some attention, like the way it was described. Like Darvin said, you know, why was that? Why? And he said, you know, we want to start off in attack mode, and there's nobody better than him at that. Quickly followed up with the he said, it's what we have, noted that we have a bunch of important players who are injured. So I don't Darvin has made it pretty clear. I think he would prefer to have a consistent starting lineup. Sure. Coaches love consistency for good reason.
So do athletes. Everybody in professional sports, they are all creatures of habit.
Routine. We're getting there.
Yeah.
I would not automatically say, just my opinion. I mean, Darvin didn't comment on Thursday's potential starting lineup or anything like that. And it's going to be the same group. Schroeder's not going to be back for a month. It's not like he's coming back on Thursday. I am not 100% convinced, though, that this starting lineup that we saw on Wednesday is going to be the starting lineup going forward. I do not think they will. I think they will continue to start Davis at the five, but I do not necessarily think that they will continue to start the same three other guys beyond Davis and LeBron. And so for fans who think this might be set in stone, the full comment from Ham on Wednesday came with some caveats. It wasn't like Russ is my starter and he's going to stay there. It wasn't as definitive, I think, perhaps, as I'm not saying he might. I mean, he might not. I'm not sold that this is what's happening going forward.
I'm not necessarily either, but what I think is interesting about it is in terms of who was not available tonight, that would even be projected in the rotation at all, possibly Dennis Schroeder, Troy Brown, Thomas Bryant. Mm-hmm. None of them to me affect Russ starting one way or the other.
No, I think it's more just of a, I think they go back and they look at the tape, they look at the defense, they look at what happened offensively, and I think they will base it on that.
I'm just saying when Darvin mentioned, you know, guys being available or not being available with this particular question,
100%.
I don't like, which is also to your point, I think it is Darvin hedging. Even if Darvin is offering some BS reasons while hedging, because I don't think really the player,
I don't think he wants to commit to anything.
Nope.
And look, it's, I think in a perfect world, you could have just, if Russ to the bench is where you would like to start it in a perfect world, you do it Wednesday on opening night and just set the precedent for all the reasons we talked about. You can still do it. The most important thing is that they've shown that they will. To that point, though, after the game, Westbrook was asked about, his first time he's spoken to the media since he hurt his hamstring in that final preseason game, or penultimate preseason game. He was asked whether or not, how it happened, and then if he thought that coming off the bench might have had something to do with it. And his answer was, absolutely. That's not me paraphrasing. That was his answer. Absolutely. I don't know medically, Andy, if he's correct or not correct, but he believes he's correct. And Russ pointed out that he's been doing the things the same way for 14 years. Nobody is more a creature of habit than Russell Westbrook.
Here's the thing. I mean, there's going to be Laker fans pissed off at that comment. Because A, they get pissed at anything Russ says or does, but B, they're going to feel like Russ is throwing out fake excuses to stay in the starting lineup because...
Or just trying to cause trouble.
That's what assuages his ego. And he's putting his status in the starting lineup ahead of what's best for the team.
Good use of assuage.
Thank you. But what I do think it is worth noting that I have spoken with NBA athletes over the years who do find physical discomfort in terms of when they come in and out of games, when they start games versus when they come off the bench. We've now had LeBron on this team. This is his fifth year. LeBron's ins and outs of games, his substitution patterns, up until this year, because we haven't seen enough, they've been damn near like clockwork. Mm-hmm. Whether with Luke or whether with Frank Vogel. And that is because LeBron likes to come into the games and leave the games when he likes to come into the games and leave the games. And all of this gets related to their physical and their mental. So
it's a little like Anthony Davis. Like we talk about Davis playing the five. He has his own reasons, whether it's physical, whatever it might be, about why he prefers the four over the five. And, you know, there's the debate about whether or not he's more or less likely to get injured, which I think has something to do with his view on this. To some degree, it doesn't matter if sort of from a physiological medical reason they're correct or not. If you believe that you are more likely to hurt yourself doing things a certain way, you're more likely to hurt yourself. It changes the way you play. It changes your aggressiveness. It changes your confidence in how you move and all these other things. And it is actually not unreasonable for Westbrook to answer the question that way. It is unreasonable for him to say, and therefore I will not come off the bench if I'm asked. But that isn't what he said.
Right.
He was asked if he thought one had something to do with the other, and it's not unreasonable for him to say, yes, I think it does.
I mean, one thing he noted was during that last preseason game where he did come off the bench and he ended up hurting himself, he said that he wasn't sure how to keep himself warm. Once the game started,
what do I do with myself?
Right, because he hasn't done this in 14 years. So, okay, fine. The onus is on Russ if this
and the staff
ever becomes a thing.
Training staff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Training staff. But I think ultimately it's on Russ. Figure it out. Like, figure it out if that becomes your job. And correct. If you are resisting figuring it out, then Russ is actually the problem. That he doesn't like it, or that he's somewhat in his own head about it, or maybe his body doesn't react well to it, that doesn't automatically mean Russ is being a pain in the ass or obstinate. Like, I don't think that's actually fair to him. And mm-hmm. like, there are people, I've seen a lot of Laker fans, that we saw some in the YouTube comments, mention that Russ last year said that he thought he tweaked his back because he was sitting on the bench for too long. And he ended up missing a game against Portland. A, the game he missed against Portland was the day before the trade deadline, so it wouldn't shock me if that had as much to do with that absence as anything else. But B, I think tonally that was different. That was Russ talking more about being annoyed that he wasn't playing down the stretch of a game, or that he didn't get the minutes that he wanted. And maybe it was a little bit sarcastic. Maybe he was being serious. Maybe it was a combination of both. But contextually, he seems to be trying to be more open so far to the things being asked of him, of Darvin Ham, than he was with Vogel. So I think it is best to be fair to Russ. Let him upset the apple cart before you just assume that he's doing it.
Right, because you'll know.
Yeah.
It'll be obvious. It'll be easy to tell when that's happening. So, you know, we'll start talking about Thursday's game, you know, for Thursday's show. And it was an uncomfortable beginning of the season.
Yeah. We're going to be doing a crossover episode with Locked On Clippers, Darian Vaziri, the new host of Locked On Clippers.
New guy. Preview, we call him new guy.
Yeah. We're going to preview that game for Thursday. So be looking for that.
So yeah, uncomfortable start, need to see something a little better on Thursday, or people are going to be, if they're not already there, are going to be real close to the panic button or filling their giant tumblers with things that aren't lemonade.
And they've been at the panic button since the beginning of last season.
Yeah, actually,
nobody's moved.
I fell right back into my routine of snarky Twitter posts. I mean, that was easy enough to do, but got some stuff lined up, some memes that would be appropriate for Thursday if things don't go better. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show, and often, again, get it a little bit early. Thanks to everybody for making us your first listen of every day. Make us your second listen if you have that kind of time. And then, you know, find another Locked On podcast after that. We'll see everybody on Thursday.